Good morning, good morning,
Love
good morning.
Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, beloved, to our Wise Women of Wealth today with Dr. Minetta, and I am truly excited and blessed. We had some technical difficulty even getting into the call, but we pressed our way in, and I know we have Dr. Alta Davis with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Alta.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. I know we got some great information to share with our listening audience this morning. I think that's probably why we had the glitch, but we are going to press our way in. And as I was looking over some notes early this morning at 3 o'clock, and I said, this is the third year that you have come on and shared with our listening audience on this very sensitive subject matter that we are going to share this morning with our listening audience. And I'm really just excited. And for those that are listening in live, we're going to have an opportunity for you to call in and ask Dr. Alta any particular questions. That call-in number is 657-383-1769. That's 657-383-1769. And so as we are entered into the holiday season, last week was Thanksgiving, and then we have coming up our Christmas day and New Year's. And so Dr. Alta has blessed us over the last 3 years in her area of expertise in the area of loss, grief, grief counseling, grief management. And so today, again, she's going to come back, share some resources, some tips, some keys to this holiday season. The holiday season, as you may be experiencing loss of relationships, loss of loved ones, loss of health, just an experience of loss, whatever capacity. And so she is a certified counselor, grief counselor. Her background is very extensive. You can locate her on Facebook, and then Dr. Alta is going to give you how you can get in contact with her and schedule maybe a session with her or whatever you're going to be needing during this time for wholeness, for health, for completeness in your life. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others our special guest, my friend, Dr. Alta Davis. We are in your hands, and however you want to present to us, we are open to receive.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate just the opportunity to talk a little bit about what various persons are going through during this holiday season. We know that it is a privilege to be able, Apostle here, to walk with people in grief on that journey because, you know, I always say, just keep living, and we all, you know, have a taste of that experience. And so it's not just because of a death, which we tend to more, you know, look at more closely, but it's also other losses. And so it could be loss of a pet, loss of a relationship, loss of your material possessions. It could be many different losses that cause us to grieve. And so we don't want to limit or leave anything out, but we want our listeners to know that grief is unlimited when you are attached or you love something or someone. A grief will pursue when that relationship is lost. And so we look today at the holiday season, because even though the holidays are stressful, even by themselves. I mean, there are so many things going on during the holiday season, so much preparation, so much stress, so many expectations. So all of these things can bring about a loss of stress within that loss. And so we have to, first of all, we need to identify, you know, what that loss is. I want to just look at relationships for a moment this morning. As I have been listening to people in relationships, it is really, really difficult and challenging during the holiday season. Some people are even wondering, do I want to carry on with this relationship, or my relationship has already broken off? I'm having issues. I am grieving about it, and yet I don't want to seem like I can't go on, because, you know, I will get another relationship. But how do I handle it through the holiday? And one of my suggestions is just to surround yourself with support, with family and friends that care about you, and do something different. I know that Dr. Hare and I were talking recently about doing new things. When you lose a loved one or a relationship, once you go through the grief process, you may be anger, you may be disappointed, you may even suffer some type of mild depression going through. But once you come through some of those stages, it's up to us to set some new standards or to set some new memories. And so I would suggest doing something different and doing something new during the holidays. Break the tradition, so to speak, if that is something that is going to work for you. And the other thing I want to say is that when we think about grief, we think about everything does not work for everyone, because everyone does not grieve the same. And so we have to be very mindful of that, that grief comes in different forms to different individuals. And so with that being said, there are different things that some people have to do. The biggest thing is finding a support system, knowing who you can talk with, expressing your feelings, because any disruption in our life causes us to go into a stressful or emotional place. And for some of us, it's easier than others to handle that stress. And so finding a good support system is really number one. Reaching out even to groups. There are groups that are set up for there are even holiday grieving groups. If you go online, you can type in groups and just find something that is really comparable for you. Some people don't do well in groups, so they need one-on-one. Find someone that you can sit and talk with that would be a support system to you. And so those are just a couple of suggestions, doing things with family members. We have to have some what we call survival strategies for the holidays. And it begins with being kind to yourself, learning what you need to do for yourself, identifying your own needs. Nothing is going to make a real big difference that people say unless you are receptive. And sometimes when we're grieving, we're not receptive of what others may have to say. And so that being said, we have to actually identify what we're going through at that time and what are my needs. And so if you can ask yourself, what are my needs? Sometimes you don't know what your needs are, but if you ask yourself, what are my needs during this time? Your biggest need is taking care of yourself. and finding a way to cope that is going to be comfortable for you. That may or may not include other people. Sometimes you just don't want to be around people. Sometimes you need that solace for yourself. And then other times it's good to be in a group or be with family and friends. And so you have to find out what your need is at that time. And too often, I guess as helpers, we like to tell people, do this and do that. This works for me and that works for me. And oftentimes what works for one will not work for another. So you have to find what works for you and be able to be diligent in sticking to what works for you. Engage with others. If you're able to engage with others, engage. Reach out. Exercise. Eat right. Grieving sometimes causes us either to go from one extreme to the other, either eat too much, constantly nibble because we're in pain, or just shut down and do nothing. Don't eat at all or sleep. And both of those are unhealthy ways to deal with your grief. But just knowing these things sometimes helps us to know we're not crazy. We're just going through a period of a difficult, a challenging grief period where we need to kind of get some strategies together that will work for us. So, Dr. Hare, did you have any questions that you wanted to really focus on?
Yes, I do. We are the person that's a part of the support system, mm-hmm. what can we do? How can we respond in supporting someone that may be experiencing loss or have experienced loss? Being that person, what would you suggest to us as a tip or strategy to be that support system or circle for someone?
Well, one of the things I like to suggest is we sometimes the support system can be overbearing, if you can believe that. Sometimes the support system just wants to tell people what to do and, like, do this and do that. And that's really not a good support system. A good support system is really helping that person to tell their story. If they need to talk about it, let them talk. We need to listen. We need to listen more. Sometimes they may even ramble about the deceased person or the relationship. We need to have that compassionate listening ear. And also asking them, what would you like me to do? Because sometimes people want to be able to express themselves of what they want. We can fix a meal for a person. We can share family albums with them, pictures, or we can give suggestions of different ways to share their memories, lighting candles, just different things that we could do as a support system to help them. But not to force them or not to push them or push our own beliefs on them. Another way, sometimes people feel like they don't have permission to grieve. We need to give them permission to grieve. Give them permission. If they need to cry, let them cry. But I think one of the things, Dr. Hare, is that we feel uncomfortable if someone is crying at the Thanksgiving dinner and we want everything to be okay, and so we want to give them a pat on the back and say, okay, that's enough. Look, come on, let's just enjoy this. But tears are natural in this season. And it's refreshing for a person that is grieving to be able to grieve without being judged, without being feeling like they're the darkness of the party or the event.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we do is support and give them permission. You have permission to grieve with me. If you need to talk, you can talk. If you need to be quiet, that's okay too. I can sit with you in your quiet space.
Yeah.
And oftentimes as caregivers, we're not able to do that because we want to talk or we want to make it better because we want to fix it because we're fixers. And grief is not something you fix because it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can only support them as they go through the process. And so that support comes in various ways. Something new and something different. You might want to ask the person, do you think of anything or can you think of anything that you would like to do different? I know one family, they set an actual play setting for their loved one. They had prayer before the dinner hour, and they acknowledged the memory of their loved one, and then they were able to go on with their day. Maybe, you know, not as usual, but they were able to move forward.
Mm.
And so those are some things that may help people. Sometimes you may be the one to light the candle. Would you like me to light a candle in memory of your loved one? You may be the one to do it, or they may be the one to do it. But just doing something new, doing something different sometimes helps. If you're in a state where they're not eating or they're not sleeping well, you might just want to pop in for a visit, calling, of course, and bring a dish.
Okay.
And share a dish. Just wanted to stop by and just sit with you for a while and see how things are going and let you know that I'm here for you. I'm supporting you, praying for you. But just wanted to kind of really, you know, eyeball you and see how things are going, how you're looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another way to support someone, which is a good way because oftentimes you tell people, okay, I'll be praying for you. And neither do they hear your prayer or neither do they see your face. And sometimes
right.
that loneliness will set in. And so it's good just trying to say, you know, is it okay if I come over? Are
right.
you up for company? And if it's not, it's okay, but I want you to know that I'm available.
Absolutely.
So that's,
those are some great tips for us. For the support team, for the supporters. You know, one thing that comes to mind also for that person that may be experiencing the loss, whatever capacity, is them giving themselves to go forward as well, to
mm-hmm.
enjoy, still enjoy life. I've had
yeah.
that experience. What for those that are listening in, what would you say to that person in the point of giving themselves permission?
Yes, that's a really, really good point because oftentimes persons that are grieving feel that they shouldn't be having any fun. They should just be grieving, period.
Mm-hmm.
But you should have some fun. You should have some humor. Humor, the Bible says, laughter doeth good like a medicine. We should
yes.
have some laughter. We should have some humor. And you shouldn't put yourself in a place that that's a judgmental place of yourself, like self-judgment. Well, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to have any fun, and, you know, my loved one is going on, and I don't want it to seem like I'm not caring or anything. So having fun and enjoying your time, if you can, is a good thing. It's good to be able to celebrate.
Absolutely.
And if you're not celebrating and you know that it's going to be really disappointing to the children or other family members, you know that you can't run away from it. So maybe you bring yourself into the celebration as best you can, but without forcing. We can't force laughter during this time. We can't force anything. It's all a matter of how you feel, but you should not be guilty, have any feelings of guilt for feeling good or having fun. Play some games with the family. That's going to lighten up the whole room or the whole atmosphere. And so that's good, to have some laughter, have some fun. There's simply nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. I'm gonna be the one who throws the big question out there. When we have experienced loss of a loved one, and then there becomes strife or division in the family, how do we? And I know that's a big question. Because the holiday normally is surrounding family
right.
gathering, and now
right.
this has come forth in the family, and now we see strife and division or separation.
Yes, especially when the matriarch or the patriarch dies.
Yes.
The ones that really held everything together. But oftentimes there is one person, a family member or a sibling, that is able to pull the family together. And it falls upon that person to be able to say, let us have a family dinner and let us just be civil during this time. Let us honor the memory of our loved one by coming together and laying those things aside for now that we're striking about. Sometimes it's money. Did anybody get anything? Who was left this and who got that? And I did all of the care. I took care of Dad, and you did nothing. And all of those things, if we can lay those aside and have dinner and come together as a family, and then maybe afterwards we can talk about those things. Because the strife and the stress is just too much. I mean, when you're going through the holiday anyway, that's the stress. The holiday is stressful all by itself. So when you have stressful situations in the family, we need someone to step forward and be the bigger person and say, look, let us come together as much as we can. Then, on the other hand, if someone does not want to do that, we cannot change people. And so whoever will want to join together, let them join together. If someone says, I want no part of you guys, I don't want to talk to you, then let them have their peace. We all grieve differently, and that's why so much strife in the family comes. Some people, they have to talk it out. They have to talk about what they did and what you didn't do. You
right.
didn't do anything. So you weren't there. And that causes more strife. Talk about what you would like to do differently or what you would like to see done differently. The person is gone now. How can we move forward from this? And so with families, we have to have one person that will have to have that mindset that they are the peacemaker.
Yeah.
Try and get the family together. Because there are lots of struggles going on with families, and especially if there were caregiver issues, if the person was ill, and, you know, you have 10 in the family, but only one person is the caregiver. You know, that's a burden.
Yes.
And so that person could be very hostile. I don't want to be with you guys. You weren't there with me. Nobody helped me. And so those are real issues. It's real talk. Those
yes.
are things that, you know, you have to sit down and really discuss. But if you can't discuss them during the holiday time, I suggest putting them aside, and then after the holiday, call a meeting, that peacemaker, call a meeting together and say, look, we've got to move forward, and how are we going to do that as a family? And so that's just a couple of things that I could suggest. And not that it falls on one person, but somebody has to do it. Somebody has to step forward. You know, oftentimes with the matriarch dies, if a mom dies in the family and the mom was responsible for having all of the family over for dinner.
Right, the Sunday dinner.
Everybody is lost that next holiday. It's like, well, what are we going to do? Well, where are we going to go? And so they argue about, well, you don't, what can you do? Well, I can't help all the people. You know, it becomes a big issue.
Right. It's real. It's real.
It's really real. Well, I'm not cooking. I don't cook like that. I'm not the cook. Or I'm not having everybody at my house because my house is too small. Or I don't want my house. I don't want all people going through my. So it's
right.
Many issues that we deal with going through that. But we need someone to step forward and say, how can we handle these situations and take one thing at a time, one bite at a time, one piece at
right.
a time, and deal
right.
with it.
I brought that question up because we know many will be experiencing that in the next 3 to 4 weeks into the new year.
Yes.
and the years
yes.
to come, because some of the things that are being experienced now or have in the past will carry forward unless it is addressed. Long as we leave it
yes.
under the carpet or try to sweep it under the carpet,
mm-hmm.
it never goes away. And it becomes even a bigger component when we think about loss and grief and the grief process and grief management. Within the last couple of weeks, I've experienced just in my circle and family lost friends, I've lost loved ones. I've had just recently a relative lost a pet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I called, this was just this week on Monday evening, they lost a pet, which was a dear part of their family. And so I was trying to at least comfort from that standpoint. And then personally from a family standpoint, a family member, loss of health, being
mm-hmm.
able to do some of the things that they normally would do during the holiday season. The cooking and the,
yes.
and the decorating and the shopping and all of those things that my mother at one time, the patriarch, would be doing all of those things. She's not
yes.
at the capacity physically to do all of that. And so I see in her spirit that loss.
Yes.
Okay? So that's
yes.
three different loss: a loss of health, a loss of a pet,
mm-hmm.
and then a loss of a loved one. They're all
yes.
Different types of loss to be that we have to process, that I have to process.
Yes.
And
yes.
so, you know, with our listening audience, I just want you to really understand the importance of what Dr. Alter is sharing with you. From a counseling point, I tell people I highly recommend counseling. And Dr. Alter, I want to, at this point, make sure we get your contact information. How would an individual that may want to come and see you or have a session or whatever, how would they contact you? By phone, email, Facebook, social media? How do you want them to get in contact with you?
Well, I can be contacted at 313-541-1350. That is my office number. I can also be contacted on aboutmealtadavis.com, which you can actually make an appointment online through the email, and the email will come directly to my email, which is altadavis@att.net. I'm located at 18629 West McNichols. And so anyone that wants to come, I'm in Northwest Detroit. And that is the phone number again is 313-541-1350.
Let me That's just great. Now, do you work with groups, families? Like, if families wanted to come to you, do you work with families,
yes,
individuals?
I actually, if it's a large family, I have actually gone to families in their
training.
Okay. And actually met them. One family did. They rented a space. They rented a hall, like, and they had food, but they actually had a memorial, and we talked. And so I recommend that for families that are struggling with various types of grief, different people grieving different ways, or if they have issues, sometimes just having a mediator is good. And so I can come to that place. If someone needs that service, they can just contact me, and then we can work it out.
Okay.
We can work it out. But I do families and individuals. Oftentimes people may go into a depression. I work with individuals that the grief is taking them into a depression, so if we can kind of put a blocker on that. So different, various things. And so if someone is having a difficult time, I can be contacted and help them to walk through it. Oftentimes, grief does not really require counseling. It's when we get stuck or when other things are going on or when we just don't know which way to go. Maybe one session is helpful just to kind of put people back on track. And so... It should definitely not be looked at as